Recording. Perfect. I want to apologize to everybody for being a couple minutes late. I think we've been a couple minutes late since 5 o'clock this morning, at least I have. So we're going to try to catch back up on time. Couple just quick announcements. This is a SDIC work session. And so what we have a couple specific items on the agenda that we'll put on the screen here in just a minute that we're going to have to stick really closely to. This is a public meeting, as you all know, but we're not taking any public comment at this time. There is a way to, via the website, if there's anything that comes up during the meeting or after the meeting, we can feel free to click on the website and go to our, there's a link on there where you can provide any questions or feedback, and it'll go straight to Chase and I, and we'll follow back up. But in the essence of time, we're going to try to zoom right through this meeting. We have a hard stop at 7 p.m. We're going to have a soft stop at about a quarter till just to reevaluate and make sure we don't need more time. If we do determine at 6:45 we need more time, then we will schedule a second work session at a later date. So that being said, for those of you who can't see me, I'm Robert Hostetler. With me to my right is Karen Kessie. And Megan, pronounce your last name for me. Sorry. Audrey and Chase Christensen. Amanda Hoyt is on the phone. And Gary, are you on the phone as well?
Yes, I am. I'm on the computer.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Well, then we're all here. So let's, item number two, we already, or number one, we already called the meeting to order. Number two is just the agenda approval. Do we see anything on the agenda, Chase, that or Karen or Megan, that did you guys get a chance to look at the agenda already? Chase is going to put it on the screen here in just a second. Okay. Let me turn it on for you.
There's a. Okay, I'm sorry about that, everyone. My mic is on now. I'm going to go ahead and move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Second.
And then a third. All right. So let's have a vote to approve the agenda as presented. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The agenda is approved. So brief introduction and overview. So on November 29th, 2022, we started our strategic planning SWOT analysis process. And what we did during that process, among many other things, is we identified a pretty lofty set of goals. And in those goals, some of these goals as written, they have multiple facets to them. And so what we're trying to accomplish in this meeting is we basically want to make this a three-tiered process. We want to identify the goal and clearly understand what it is and what we're trying to accomplish. We're going to identify some ideas of a critical path from that goal to get to our deliverables. And so what it'll look like is we'll have a goal on the top, we'll have a critical path in the middle, and at the very end of this process, there'll be a deliverable. The dialogue around these goals needs to be centered around these goals specifically. And some of these goals, as we go through them, you'll be able to see and hear that, say, for instance, on, I think, third or fourth goal has four or five different subcategories to it. Some of those subcategories could be their own goals. And so we want to have some dialogue around that too, just to make sure we're really clear with what we're trying to accomplish. A lot of these goals are concepts, and within these concepts, there could be five or six different ways to interpret them. So that's what this dialogue and this work session is for. At the end of this work session, or in conclusion of this work session, Chase and I are going to put together basically a list of notes and a review document. And in that review document, it'll basically be open for discussion in our next meeting in April. It's going to have those three things: the goal that we determine, the critical path, and the things that we need to do, steps we need to take to get to the end of the process, which is the deliverable. Chase, did I miss anything in that? Or is that?
No, that sounded good to me. Probably for the meeting recording, we need to announce who. Did you already go through the attendance?
No, I did not.
Okay, let me pull up the attendance.
I think I just mentioned the board members. So on the screen, sorry, it's kind of far away from me. I see WRLC, I see Jeremy, and I see iPhone. Not sure who iPhone is. And then here in person. Oh, it's you? Well, I see Amanda's iPhone too.
Oh, maybe it's not me.
So, yep. And then here in the room with us is Marie Gadotti. I think that's everybody. Okay. So let's go ahead and dive right into this. So Chase, the way that I was thinking about doing this was kind of how we talked earlier, is just to go through the goal, read it out loud as it stands, and then we can just open this up to everybody just to have a conversation about whether they agree with it, first and foremost, whether it's practical, whether it still makes sense. And then let's start talking about the details. And I really want the board more than anything to communicate. And I'm going to try to take as much notes and try to facilitate the meeting. But feel free to speak up if there's something that you want to say, because it's going to get on this notepad and then we're going to hone this in. So number one goal says prepare a plan. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong page. Is that the first one, Chase? Prepare a plan for sudden or short notice?
Yeah.
Oh. There we go. Okay. Sorry. I was one page off. The number one goal is to develop a priority list of non-maintenance infrastructure improvements. So the way this was written with our SDO work session was that this is to develop a plan for non-maintenance infrastructure improvements. So the specific goal, again, is develop a priority list of non-maintenance infrastructure improvements. Step one is to solicit member input on infrastructure improvements. Step two is to assemble staff recommendations on infrastructure improvements. Step three is for the board to develop and prioritize and approve a list, and then a date of implementation. So I'll go ahead and open this up to the board. Let's start with the first question. Is this goal still relevant and important?
I think so, but what would be an example of something that would fall on that list? Because I'm having a hard time coming up with something off the top of my head where maybe it's important, but maybe it needs to be like further down the list in importance.
Well, I think the goal here was just to combine, because there's definitely community ideas that are out there. There's staff ideas, there's board ideas. Some of them are old, some of them are new. And it's basically this is the process of putting together this list. And this list could change, especially after we receive a deficiency study. But this is basically just to get the process moving. And so the idea is we'll officially take the input from the community and staff and board and generate a list of what could be or non-maintenance but infrastructure upgrades. So like one of them could be, you know, using the Cherry bypass of sending water to the Cherry pump station and not the Evans. That would be a infrastructure upgrade. The other would be, I think, the Columbia Avenue culvert, the CZ Trail culverts. There's several of them out there I have to have on. There's like ideas of a more efficient pumping station, backup generators. These are basically ticket items that wouldn't normally be considered under maintenance. And the idea is the official process of soliciting input from everybody. That's, I think, step two or no, step one. And then we'll compile these lists and then try to come together and agree on the list and then try to form some process to analyze these items on the list and probably have like a narrative of, you know, as the community looks at it, they might not understand any of it, but somehow put together the list and maybe a narrative of what it is, why it's an improvement, why it would be a good idea. And then the board would sit down and decide exactly, you know, using funding and budgeting, possibly grants, to actually prioritize this list from a kind of a neutral standpoint, if you will, for the betterment of the whole district. Process we're adopting is the process of developing the list.
Yeah, and so I know the folks on the phone and on the Teams can't see this, and I apologize, but let's just go back through items. The critical path as written currently to get to the deliverable, which is this list, is step one is to solicit member input on infrastructure improvements. Step two, assemble staff recommendation on infrastructure improvements. Step three, the board's to develop and prioritize and approve a list, and then set a date of implementation. Is there any other input too, as far as do we things we want to add to that, to those steps, or something specific we want to add at the beginning or end?
Chase has a much better sense of the operations of the district than I do. So I would also appreciate having Chase's recommendations priority order.
Well, no, I that's definitely part of the process. I was just thinking if we just compile the ideas in no particular order, mm-hmm. then we could go through them and really, really drill down and look at them and what's possible.
So I was important. Just thinking, I mean, of yeah. course, the first thing to do is to, you know, ask the members if they think there's any infrastructure improvements we ought to make. But when it comes to assembling staff recommendations on infrastructure improvements, I hope that includes your recommendations on what order those things should.
Agreed. Yep. Sure. So, do you want me to get you a microphone? So, for those of you attending remotely, I know we kind of discussed at the beginning about that this was going to be a closed work session and we weren't going to take public comment, but we're. Chris Nagelspaugh from the city of Scappoose was able to step in and he has an update for us. And so I think at this point in time, unless you think otherwise, Ms. Kessie, I think we should hear what Chris has to say.
Yeah, the process. And I, you know, I represent the city as a landowner too. So I don't know if that makes a difference, but my comment in this is that I just want to remind everyone that the city funded some deficiency studies through West Consulting, and that work is being done now. And actually, the next step in their consulting work that's they're under contract with us right now is to identify critical infrastructure things that to study in detail. Estimates for which okay I'm sorry I'm getting ahead right and it could be that they look at more than just conveyance because they have all the pumping information as well, so it could be
sure
broad look if you wanted it to be. It's
that's part of it. Take what you guys have done and then if we need to expand on it, but that's the third one down. We'll get there. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, but I appreciate you.
So can you just briefly review that so everybody on the phone could hear, because there were some times where the microphone was away. So
okay, yeah. So Chris was basically updating that the city's in the process of conducting a deficiency analysis on certain parts of the system. And that's actually part of our priority. It's a goal later on, but that will also drive part of this infrastructure improvement list, if you will, because these things are going to run parallel is my guess. And then once we get that information, it could change this list as well.
I'm assuming just as a point of clarification, Chris, you're saying that this is information we can also use. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Well, in other words, we wouldn't have to conduct our own deficiency study if you've already conducted one.
We might expand it. We'll take what they take and then we'll go farther. But we'll cover that during that goal.
Okay.
Let's just hammer on this goal right now.
Okay.
Perfect. Appreciate the update too, Chris. Thank you. Okay. So just basically in closing, I guess, for this first goal, the goal again is to develop a priority list of non-maintenance infrastructure improvements Do we agree both in concept? Sounds like we agree in the importance. We're going to keep it on the list. We agree in the concept as far as the four or five items that need to be checked off as part of our critical path.
Yep.
And then the actual deliverable for this specific goal is a physical, tangible list.
With some like narrative that goes with it. Because I hope when the public, we're going to solicit public input, is when they make a recommendation for the board to consider that we have some sort of a background, a reason.
List with a write-up.
Yeah, and that's so, and when we reach out, solicit member input is probably part of that questionnaire. We'll definitely want to have something on there explaining what we need as feedback to basically consider it in the decision, or the board does.
Great.
And then the other question is kind of a note on this. And then when you have, so timeline, or I was thinking maybe 2 months, 3 months for public input. And then the staff could put together, because when I type this up and we bring this to the next meeting, I'd like to have like a timeline with it. Does that sound right to everybody or reasonable?
Yes. I was thinking, unless you think otherwise, I was thinking June would be great to have it by June, July.
Okay.
Whatever's doable for you.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I think that would give, like you said, the public plenty of time to provide feedback, and then for us to analyze and ask any questions, have any back and forth with the public in case there's something that's unclear, then we could write it up, do the write-up and present it.
Okay.
That work? Yeah, thanks for adding that. Okay.
I've seen too many of these completed long-range strategic type plans over the years. I'm assuming the narrative is
important. It would definitely be important for moving forward, because I mean, this stuff's not going to get done in a year. I mean, let's just be honest. This is going to be a multi-year plan. And so there's probably going to be board members that come and go. And then when we revisit this, it would be good for whoever that is. Yeah, it was like, why are we doing this?
Good. Yep.
Okay. So with that said, were you good to move on to goal number two? Everybody all right? Okay, so goal number two states establish collaborative relationships with local government and partner agencies, including but not limited to Columbia County, City of Scappoose, Port of Columbia County, and economic development agencies. So this is one of those goals that's I won't say lofty, but it's got multiple facets and there's a million different ways to interpret it. So step one is to identify contacts and schedule appointments to introduce/have a conversation about SDIC priority planning by a certain date. Step two is follow up with contacts, determine if there are areas to collaborate. Step three is define collaborative work and target dates or deadlines for implementation. Step four is to attend agency government board meeting to report out on collaboration and extend appreciation. And step five is to develop ongoing check and frequency to foster the relationship. So thoughts, initial thoughts on that goal, first of all, and then in the process.
This one I feel is probably the most difficult to actually come up with it. What does an actual tangible check the box look like? And that's kind of, Rob and I talked about this, and kind of what we were thinking of is we develop a list of basically of these entities, who the contacts are, what their position is, what their role is. And we have this kind of, you know, I'm not saying on our record, but just have it so we know what it is. And then we review it, put it into our annual calendar. And then we'll review it, and then maybe right after the annual meeting, March meeting, we'll either delegate staff or board to reach out and make contacts with these people. Now, as it stands, most of the people on that list, we're already in contact with, we talk to regularly. And so I don't think it's going to be a huge expansion of that list, but at least then it'll give kind of a formal outline of what that looks like. And then for the community outreach we're talking about the community meetings later, aren't we?
Yep, that's a separate goal. Yeah, that's one of those ones that kind of go
together,
but could be separate. So, and I think you're right. at least in our thinking, one of the things that I was considering also was the first step would be to, like you said, Chase, is to identify which specific entities we're talking about. And on our list, we have the county, the city, the port, and an economic team. I think that would be good to have a master list and a list of contacts, and then have somebody from the staff or from the board delegated to be the point of contact for those entities, or maybe a combination of both. And then I think even more importantly, though, because some of those relationships are already there and we already have, you know, we already have contacts that we're meeting with all the time. The more important takeaway for this goal for me is just to have a system where we go back every year or periodically and we review that and we update it, so that when we do have board turnover or staff turnover or what have you, there's no fall off, for instance. There's no lapse in transitory, in transitionary periods of time. And so I think we can accomplish that by adding it to the master calendar. And like you said, reviewing it every March after the annual meetings in February and the new board is and the new directors and everything and positions and officers are all done. Then in March we have, we assign that contact or we delegate that person. Does the board have any comment to that?
I think that sounds like a great plan.
Okay. Any further comment?
Looking at the word collaborative, and I just want to, make sure we have a way of measuring. We have to be able to feel successful with our goals, We need to be able to measure.
And that was what we were thinking too, is if there's maybe we put it on the schedule that there's a point person to attend city or county meetings or maybe economic development meetings. Like I said, this one was kind of the tough one to figure out. What is that tangible at the end of this going to look like?
Right.
So, and is it a success?
That'd be part of the step where and we're trying to complete this or succeed in this is just already identifying any board members do attend on their own any of these different agency meetings, and that would just be a natural fit for somebody to be in that. And would that be the start of building relationship and possibly striking out your collaborative word, since we don't quite know yet what a measurable or tangible measurement would be? And we at least know that we could be successful in establishing a relationship.
Well, under the collaborative term as well, I think of it as that could be an ongoing, that could be if we do identify maybe in the infrastructure list that there's a way that we can work together with the county or we can work with the city, that we, do that. But, is there something we can specifically point to at this exact moment in time? Not really. I mean, we are working on the West maps together, but that's no news to anybody. Or the infrastructure, the interior drainage analysis, sorry.
I don't know if Columbia County or the city of Scappoose or the port or the economic team, I don't know if they have an annual meeting, something as formal as we do, where we have that once a year annual landowner meeting. But one way we can measure it would be that whoever the point of contact is, whoever the person that's delegated to for this area of responsibility, that person just makes sure that there's an agenda item where the SDIC can go and do a brief 10-minute presentation at each of these things once a year at their annual meetings or at some other type of format where there's a platform like that. That'd be something we could measure, either happened or it didn't.
And you can also identify in the list.
Yep. Right.
Actually come up with the contact. What would be the best meeting to go to if that's something?
And that critical path might be different. Maybe the city does have an annual meeting, the county doesn't, for instance, where, the critical path for the city could be this way, the critical path for the county could be a different way.
And falling back on my lack of experience with these processes, I don't see anything here that would be problematic for us that we could change. If we needed to make a change to it, if we find that this particular goal isn't working for us, not set in stone, but I think it looks like something we can start with.
Okay. So just to review this before we move on, the first Again, the goal is to establish collaborative relationships with local government partner agencies. The first step of this process is going to be to develop the list and the context. That's going to be the first deliverable for this. Once that deliverable is completed, we can have some more dialogue about critical paths and if there's further deliverables upon that. But the main deliverable is that we're going to develop this list. And this list is going to be reviewed at a certain interval, maybe on the master calendar after the new board's seated, so on and so forth.
Yep.
That's the concept that we're agreeing on. Okay. Any further comment before we move on? Okay, let me see. I think the next one, sorry, these kind of ran together. So this goal kind of fits into what Chris was talking about earlier. So the goal is to maximize the efficiency of the conveyance system. The priority above that says maximize the efficiency of the conveyance system, perform an infrastructure deficiency study. And for those of you who didn't hear what Chase and Chris were talking about a little bit earlier, the city's in the process of doing that now. And so there will be some synergies there that we can probably capitalize on. But as it reads now, step one is to contact the city and set a date to acquire stormwater deficiency study, which is currently underway. That sounds like that will take shape in the place of just a meeting and a conversation. Step two is perform an infrastructure deficiency study to fill any gaps not covered in the city by a certain date. Step three is prepare a list of needed improvements based on analysis of the studies to inform the fiscal year 23-24 budget, and then include appropriate improvement expenditures in fiscal year 2023-2024.
Need to add to that if whatever I don't really know what kind of improvements are needed, but if the improvements needed exceed what we could afford in the 2023-2024 budget, we need another number five that says no alternate sources of funding or what.
Well, most likely what's going to happen is we're going to take their study that they have, and then their study is probably not going to cover the entire district. And what we would like to do is, because our entire system is the entire drainage district. It's not just around the city, it's Capoose or the south end or the north end. And most likely what the 2023-2024 budget is going to include is, if the timing falls right and before the June meeting, is we could solicit bids to expand if needed, and then most likely that'll be covered by budget. That's just basically a computer model run. It's basically what West has already done for us. It's just focusing on a different part of the system. And so most likely the budget will cover the analysis. What the analysis brings back, that could be, who knows?
As include appropriate improvement expenditures in fiscal year, not talking about just paying for the analysis. So,
and that might be something that we want to strike because we don't know what that's going to cost. It's not.
Yeah, maybe we just like
include the analysis in the budget.
Okay. Does that make sense? Are we talking about the understanding
of
each other?
Well, no, it says prepare a list of needed improvements based on the analysis of the studies to inform the fiscal year 2023 budget.
Right.
Just informing it. We're not committing to anything.
Number four, include appropriate improvement expenditures.
Yeah.
In the fiscal budget.
Appropriate is if they were $5 million, we're not going to be into the budget.
Oh, appropriate. You're happy with that. Okay. Appropriate. All right. But I'm just wondering, I guess my original question is, do we need to have another line item for budgeting for whatever remaining, finding a funding source for whatever remaining?
That will be probably part of it.
Is we want to write that here as the goal?
Yeah, because we don't really know what it is. We don't have a tangible thing we can look at.
Just want to make sure we're not limiting ourselves to 2023-2024 budget for whatever.
I don't read it that way. Does anybody else read it that way?
Sorry, I'm almost done writing.
that's our hope, is once we have it identified, then we can, once we get this kind of process in place and finished, and then we can start approaching.
I mean, if this is really a long range plan, I feel like we need to have something in there that doesn't, I just feel like it could be misconstrued that, you know, we're going to pay for it with a 2023, 2024 budget. And that's it.
Yeah.
So as a long range plan, you don't think it's necessary. I'm sorry, I keep this back, but make sure that bases are covered and that we have a number five. That
we could just change it, the studies to inform the long range, basically the long range.
The long range plan, yeah.
Yeah. Just get rid of that. We'll just remove the budgets in there. So no confusion. Is that?
Yeah. Is that, that makes sense to me too. Does that make sense?
You guys?
Okay, so the first step is going to be to, it says contact the city, but I just put under our meeting that to attend the meeting with the city to understand the deficiency analysis that's already, that's in the process of being performed. And then step two would be just to expand on that if there was any gaps that we need to expand to cover. Step three, which is in the process of just covering, is prepare a list of need improvements based on analysis of the studies to inform the long-range planning. And then I think step four, I mean, it just says include appropriate improvement expenditures in fiscal year 23. I think we should say include appropriate improvement expenditures in an appropriate year. We don't know what year that's going to be, but that'll, those years will come out based on how we prioritize the list of improvements too, which would be a separate process than what we're doing today.
And it's all part of the one budget, so it'll be, even though they can be separated out as part of the conveyance system, it probably will end up on that, the infrastructure improvement list.
Just writing this up.
Gary or Amanda, do you have any input?
I don't. That sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me as well.
Okay, any further discussion before I move on to the next one? Okay. Okay, the priority for the next one, this next goal is to improve member outreach, relations, education, district branding. This is the one I think you're just talking about, Chase. The goal is to improve SDIC public relations, member outreach, and education, including SDIC branding. Step one in that process would be to post monthly SDIC activity updates on website beginning in January, short narratives on daily operations, videos of projects, educational messages about the SDIC system, or updates on the status of a board initiative. Step two is prepare a survey to be sent out to all members seeking feedback on their awareness of and satisfaction with the SDIC, to be sent out in conjunction with the annual meeting, and seek bids for public relations support from contractors who provide outreach support, branding recommendations, et cetera. It says by June 2023, but just by a certain date, because it's, we're just talking about the concept here. So any, first of all, with the goal is improving SDIC public relations, member outreach, and education, including branding. Still a priority as it was in November.
Yes, my question on that would be, what exactly does that mean?
That's a good question.
Well, I think as we have it written up from the November work session, it looks like we're already doing step one. I mean, and Chase, feel free to chime in if I'm offbeat here, but we do post monthly SDIC activity updates on our website. We've been doing that since before January 23. We do have some short narratives on our operations. I don't think we have any videos of projects, but we have pictures of projects and pictures of major projects. I'm not sure if we have any educational, I know we have educational write-ups about the SDIC system, because there's all sorts of write-ups on the website about, you know, informing anybody that was to visit the website on what we do and who we are and so on and so forth. And then there's also updates on the status of board initiatives. There, the bylaw proposal changes have been on there. All of that is on the website. So I would make the argument that we're already done with number one. We've already accomplished that. The deliverable with all these things on here, and we've already done them.
And it's ongoing.
And it's ongoing. So I
think update monthly, but it's, I guess, when you have major, and I get around to it.
Sure.
I guess we could just get out of there.
Good. The other idea that we could, that I might suggest too, is that, you know, maybe to keep this, I don't think this is something we should look at. This is my own opinion, but I don't think this is something we should look at on an annual basis, like, you know, an O&M review and things like that, where we're going to look at it on specific times of year, every year on the calendar. I don't think this gets added to the master calendar. Maybe this is something that we just add to the manager's report or the monthly agenda under some line item where we provide the public and the board and everybody an update with any new changes to the website. Some months might have some massive changes and some months might not have anything, but at least it's just a reoccurring item that we just cover. Any thoughts on that?
I think of that as an operational question. I don't know that the board.
For the number two on the survey, all members seeking feedback. I mean, the website provides ability for anybody to contact us, give us comments or anything that way, or they can attend the monthly meetings. And so it's, I don't know if we need to, I don't necessarily send out a survey. I mean, the annual meeting kind of is the notice, the annual notice for that. I don't know if what that would look like, I guess.
Fine with that, and it might have been my idea to start with, but I'm fine with that because in giving it some more thought, I think it takes up time and resources. Okay. You're right. Members can always contact us.
I don't think you'll see the return. By the time you put in, like you said, resources monetarily wise, I don't think people are going to take the time at all. So I think it would be a mute point.
So let's strike number two.
And number three, seek bids for public relations support from contractors who provide outreach. Are we at the point where we would like to seek bids for that type of activity, or are we scratching that too?
I don't see any benefit in it. I don't know what.
Extremely costly.
Yeah, and I don't see much benefit for spending member income or resources on that. I don't know the benefit we would get from it. I might have a few ideas.
I'd agree. I think we might be stretching a little bit on that one at this point.
I think it would be ideal if we had a brand, a look that was more professional than what we have now. So, but, you know, like our sign, our truck, our website, everything has a logo. I don't even know if we have a letterhead. So, you know, but I don't know how expensive it would be for us to get something like that set up for us and change, you know, we already have in place. And so if it's not considered to be, if it's too expensive to be a good use of landowner resources, then I'm going to do it. But I do see some value in that. Want to be taken seriously, you know, organization. As a public-facing station, mm-hmm. Important for us to have. You know, I used to, there was a time in my life I would have been like, you got to be kidding me. But, you know.
I think something simple as having one brand for as far as logo and approved colors and approved font and size. It's very intricate in doing logos. So I don't know if it's really necessarily a PR firm that you want to go after as the board, or if it's more or less like graphic design. or all of us coming together and for the short term, picking one of the logos and saying, okay, this is it for right now, to be more cohesive. That would be a relatively easy thing for us to do, just to pick a logo. But it does get particular with color and kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like this is still something that we would like to, maybe the seeking a bid from a contractor, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth, but from what I'm hearing is maybe we're not at that point, but we do think that a letterhead, a logo, a sign, you know, all that stuff needs to be more consistent. And all of that can be included when we dive into the critical path of what we want the deliverable to be. If the deliverable is going to be a consistent logo, then we can discuss the critical path for that at a later date. But for this, just this specific meeting, it sounds like we agree with the concept. We definitely agree with the improving the public relations, member outreach, and education, and that it should include some thought or concept about branding and creating a common logo. So for step one, I have post SDIC activity updates on the website. That's checked off because we're already doing that. Scratching number two off the survey list. And utilizing item number three in our thinking for deliverables and finding a critical path to get those completed.
Sounds good.
That makes sense to everybody, or is that?
So you're not talking about rewording number three, just touching it?
Yeah, I'm up to for rewording it for sure. Right now, all I have is letterhead, logo, and sign needs to be consistent is all I have kind of just jotted down. I think there's a better way to say that. Go ahead, Chris. Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. You want to just recite that real quick, Chase? In the microphone.
Yeah.
I was trying to write it down.
So Chris recommended we reach out to the Columbia Economic Team. Apparently they provide grants for branding through that, which I think if we could get a grant for it, it might be something worth looking into, especially being in the realm of $15,000. So, but we definitely want to pursue some sort of a branding, especially if we have to, just so it keeps consistency. So I think we should leave the branding in there, but I don't know if we should.
Maybe we just seek support for branding recommendations.
Like that. And those are great. Those are great. From the critical path point of view, that's a great part of the process. So thanks for bringing that up. Okay. Anything else to add to improving SDIC or public relations before we move on? Okay, so this one I wanted to spend the majority of the time on, so I'm glad we got to where we needed to. There's two more that I'm not going to say are less significant, but that should require less time and less deliberations. This one I plan on spending some time on. Is everybody doing okay for time, or do we need to take any type of a break? Are we good to push through? Good, okay. We're 48 minutes into this. And this next one has to do with the O&M manual. And with it, so I'll just read it as is, and we'll have some dialogue about it. The priority from the work session on the 29th was to complete the recommendations outlined in the organizational assessment. The formal development, review, and adoption of internal policies, bylaws, and the operations and maintenance manual. The O&M manual should include a comprehensive preventative maintenance schedule, including criteria. The criteria for ditch needs will be established using the Army Corps of Engineers criteria as the minimum standard and should contain a regular assessment of ditch conditions and needs, as well as properly identifying ownership of all ditches. So the goal for that was to complete the recommendations outlined in the board organizational assessment, including development of internal policies, updating SDIC bylaws, and the operations and maintenance manual. From that goal, the critical path or the process, I should say, is to develop the recommended internal policies and provide for board review and adoption at monthly meetings of the SDIC board beginning on blank day. Review SDIC bylaws, making necessary revisions for approval by members on blank day. Ensure current operations and maintenance manual includes a preventative maintenance schedule for the system that can be used as a budgeting tool. The preventative maintenance criteria will be established using United States Army Corps of Engineers criteria and standards, and includes regular assessments of ditch conditions and needs and proper identification of ditch ownership by date, and then develop an annual calendar depicting when the SDIC board will review and update the above policies. So that in itself, and I know that was a lot of words, so we'll try to break this down into smaller categories. So let's start with just the goal. And feel free to go ahead and jump in here whenever you would like, but to complete the recommendations outlined in the board organizational assessment. So we've read through the organizational assessment a few times. It sounds like there was one or two things left. You want to elaborate on that, Jason? What was left?
Yeah, so basically, we've completed everything that was recommended. The only thing that's non-completed, but is in the works, is an employee manual, which is hopefully going to be approved at the next meeting. And then the final step in that of the six different phases, one of the last phases was to complete exactly what we're doing right now, which is essentially the last phase in that. Everything else from the accounting review, the employee descriptions, to employee evaluations. The employee handbook is the only thing that's unfinished out of that assessment. So most of that's essentially all wrapped up.
And phase five was the SWOT analysis.
Yes, is what we're doing right now. And then, hey, there's one on the website.
Sorry.
Well, then the phase six was basically post accreditation and the board moving forward with the strategic planning process. Basically, once we get the strategic plan in place and implementing phases of this plan. So in regards to the organizational assessment, we've pretty much satisfied most all of that. I don't know if what this goal would include is we have a review of those items, like a scheduled review. I know some of it's going to have to be reviewed just under law, like employee handbooks and stuff like that, as state law changes. We were actually thinking about taking this one and breaking it into about three different priorities. Signaling out, so having the O&M manual and an annual review. So basically we'll do an update to today and hopefully have that ready in several months, and then schedule an annual review of the O&M manual. So kind of pull that to one side, and then have maybe just an annual review of the SDIC bylaws. We just updated the bylaws last year, or 2 years ago, two meetings ago, but it was less than a year. And maybe it's just a review of the bylaws on the annual calendar would satisfy that. Maybe a review in September. If there was any changes, that would give plenty of time before the annual meeting to receive feedback or back and forth. So it's just, I think there's a lot in this one priority that we kind of need to separate out. And then the third would be the ditch, the condition and needs and the proper identification of ditch ownership. That could be that's going to probably be a process in and of itself. It's instead of doing a infrastructure deficiency analysis, this would include also all the private ditches that are located around the district. So I think this should kind of be its own process as well. And then there's also some legal questions that are going to go into that. So I think that's going to be a process that's going to need to be kind of tackled on its own. And then once we get the ditches assigned, then we can create some sort of a process to have them reviewed, so maybe an annual review of them, and then a schedule clean schedule, if you will. This one, we were just thinking to try to break it apart to have it more, and there's a lot in this one if you read it.
So I have four. I apologize, I'm a slow writer, but basically, if I heard you right, which I agree with too, this goal is really broken into four main concepts. The first concept is to update the O&M manual via one-time true-up by a certain date. And that would get it caught up and updated and revised up through whatever date that was, June 1st, whatever date we decide. And then on top of that, additionally, is to set a date on the master calendar to where it's reviewed annually, right? Okay. So the deliverables would be two things in that. We would have a revision that was updated and adopted, and then we would have we would update on the annual calendar and agree upon that. Those would be the two deliverables from that goal. Okay. The second would be to review the bylaws, basically putting that on a date on the master calendar for every September. And so on the master calendar, on the August meeting, we would look at the master calendar at the end of that meeting. We'd say, okay, for September, we have a bylaw review. Let's refamiliarize with ourselves with that. We're going to have some more dialogue about that the September meeting. Then during the September meeting, anything new that was going to be presented or changed, or suggested, we could have that dialogue at that point in time and then see where it goes from there. But that would happen every August in preparation for every September, correct?
Yeah. And then if we did have a recommendation for a change, that gives us October, November, December, January to hash out the legal stuff before the annual meeting in February, which it's adopted or not by the members. Perfect. It's usually a slow process, so but that was kind of the idea behind the bylaws, is we did just update them, and the last time we updated them, I think, was in 96. So it's...
You don't want to wait too much later, because I think November, December, we're kind of working on employee reviews and that kind of thing. So you're kind of stretched during that.
Yeah, the time seems great. Oh, go ahead, Amanda. Amanda, were you trying to say something?
No, sorry. I was trying to mute my phone. I'll be in there in like 30 seconds.
Okay. Bye. All right. Okay. So number three, or the third new goal from this one goal, would be the organizational assessment. We're going to look at it, and we're going to identify which portions need to be reviewed regularly. It's because some of the portions in there, like the employee handbook and other things we were thinking need to be reviewed as part of the master calendar, need to be reviewed periodically, and we need to determine what that interval is, if it's annually or if it's biannually or whatever it is, and then just add it to the master calendar. That's the deliverable, right? Okay.
Yeah. Like, I review the organizational assessment and determine what needs reviewing and how often.
Yep. And then we'll just add those things. Hi, Amanda.
There was part of those inside of the organizational assessment. There was stuff we're doing with like best accounting practices, which we've already completed. I mean, there's a lot of it's already been completed and adopted. I don't know what a review would look like every 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. That's something that we would have to probably determine. Or as legally things change, it could force an update unscheduled.
Sure.
But I mean, for the most part, we basically completed the organizational assessment. It's just now getting back to maybe a scheduling, some sort of a review. So the deliverable would be maybe a schedule to review what came out of that. It's not really an organizational assessment anymore. It's best practices and adopted policies and stuff. So
we've been reviewing our progress on organizational assessment in November, because that's annually. That's when we had it done, was in November.
Yeah.
And when it was completed, we've just been doing that. So we can schedule to do that in November. As far as, at least, you know, just seeing what might need ongoing review. Make sense, what I just said?
Yeah. Makes sense to me. Okay. And then the fourth portion of this goal for this broke down goal would be a ditch level analysis. Now from this, Chase, I kind of stopped writing because I ran out of room, but can you go over your thinking behind the ditch levels portion again so I can catch back up?
Well, so the ditch levels analysis is there's part of this is which ditches are actually controlled and maintained by the SDIC.
So the first phase we don't know those.
Yeah, we have a pretty good idea, but there's, you know, I've been reading through some of the old documents, and one was a commission's report from the 1950s that stated everything within 2,000 feet of a ditch. Basically, the district's supposed to get a ditch within 2,000 feet of every acre in the district, and then the landowner's supposed to get the water to that ditch. Whether that's still legal, I have no idea. It's from the 50s. We had a huge, huge infrastructure upgrade in the 70s. So that one has its own questions kind of in there. And then once we analyze the ditches, is probably analyze the condition they're in, and then we'll need to figure out what does a clean or functioning ditch look like. Because under our permits, our DEQ exemptions, is we have an exemption for maintenance. We can't expand ditches and just start going digging ditches around here and there as we feel fit. So it's, we need to figure out exactly which ones are ours and what does the maintenance look like. And that's kind of it's a lot to just throw under one other goal.
Sure.
It's going to be its own separate multi-stepped process.
Okay. So just to reiterate, so with the ditch level analysis, it's basically a two-phased approach. The first section of that approach would be to identify, and the deliverable would be to identify the district responsibility ditches versus the landowner ditches. That would be the deliverable. That would be the first deliverable, whether that's on a map or in a document or whatever that is. That would be the deliverable. And then the critical path to get that, like you said, we can review some legal stuff. We can, you know, talk with Mr. Condon and so on and so forth, and figure out what policies and what documents we have are still relevant. That'll all be critical path stuff that gets up to that first deliverable. The second deliverable is an actual analysis of the conditions, like a peer, one stop snapshot of the ditch conditions overall, which I'm assuming will then trigger a priority list of which ditches are needing the most attention and so on and so forth. But the deliverable for that specific concept will be an actual analysis. Is that correct? It'll be a condition report, basically?
Essentially, yes.
Don't want to build into the goal what comes after the condition report?
Well, then we'll have to go from that point and see exactly. Once we get the condition report, we'll know. We should probably then, at that point, figure out exactly what ditch size and basin and, I mean,
we need to build some language like that into the plan.
Yeah, to say,
we don't, we're not just going to stop it.
Yeah, no. Report. Well, then the next step will be, are they deficient? Are they not deficient? Which ones are good? Which ones are bad? And what does a good ditch look like? A bad ditch look like? What, you know, like, I think of it like this, is you have the ditch that's like feeding the Smith pump. It's an 8,000 or whatever, 9,000 gallon a minute pump. It doesn't need a 400 foot wide ditch. So there's going to have to be some analysis of these sub basins and the main feeding of these pumps of what exactly that ditch should be. And then once we receive that, then we'll know, okay, this ditch is deficient, but this one is not. And then we can then create a schedule of a regular cleaning, a regular analysis to see if, you know, maybe the silt's gotten worse or what have you. And so that's kind of the multi-step process of this.
I think we just need some general language that goes beyond just stopping at the getting a conditions report. Then we need to build in some kind of sentence as what kind of action we're going to take after that point.
That makes sense. So the condition report is really just part of the critical path to get what sounds like to a point where we have a master schedule for ditch maintenance, which drives the O&M. So basically the deliverable is adding a master schedule for ditch cleaning to an O&M,
correct,
or something like that. And then the critical path to get there is the ditch analysis, a condition report, identifying what intervals they need to be cleaned at, and then a priority list of which ones need it right now. And then that'll generate the periodic intervals.
And it might not be an actual schedule of cleaning the ditch. It would be a review of the ditches and then a priority based on sure. the condition that they're in, not necessarily every 5 years we clean this ditch if it needs it or not. So it's
right. Sure. Great. Okay, let's see. Operation maybe. Cool. Okay, and we already talked about the fourth part of that, which is develop an annual calendar depicting when the SDSC board will review and update the above policies. We have an annual calendar. It's I wouldn't say it's been adopted and posted to the website and everything yet, but it's definitely exist, which is great. And I think at what point in time, what would we need to do to get that to a point in time where we could, you know, have that readily available and posted, and then we could, I'm sorry, right here. After that I skip over one. No, you're fine. I was just saying, so at what point in time, what else do we want to see? Right now, just so everybody knows, we have an Excel spreadsheet that Chase created that just shows month over month all of the things that we've, things that we want to review, certain important times when the mailer needs to go out, and what we do in the December meeting, and what we do in the June meeting, and the budget meeting, and those kind of main highlights are set up in this master calendar. A lot of the things from the SWOT analysis we intend, it sounds like from this meeting, are going to go on the master calendar. So would we be able to do some type of a draft master calendar that we can post and then just update it as this new information comes available?
That was my hope, is this the master calendar. I mean, I don't want to call it an adopted document, but it's basically going to be a living document because things are going to change, because there's stuff on there, annual reviews of staff is based on when they were hired. It has nothing to do with time of year. There's different parts of that too that we can add to that calendar and change as we go along, but at least it'll give us the document. And then we can put it on the agenda, maybe like last item review master calendar. So we know next meeting, hey, budget meeting, we need to get the budget rolling now type deal.
So maybe this is just like a fifth part of this original goal, which would be to, what do we call it? Dial a Todd and see what it would take to get the master calendar on the website.
And how to update it. Because there's stuff in there too that aren't date specific. So like our meetings will be held on a specific date, but there's stuff that is just like, you know, at the February, we're going to have an annual meeting. We don't know when that is,
right?
It's going to be on there. So it's just so that way the board staff and the public can look at it.
And this is going to lead into, just so everybody knows, this is going to lead into one of these next goals, which has to do with succession planning and, you know, how do we transition from one board to a new board or GM to a new GM or so on and so forth. We want to put this in place to where it's really easy for anybody to pick up and just carry with it. So
I think a master calendar is totally worthy of its own priority.
I think so too.
Yeah. I should say master, not just annual calendar.
You good with that? Gary, the master calendar being kind of its own goal with its own priority and own critical path. No, I missed. That's right. Okay. Any other comment on? I know this was a big one. I want to give it its due time and make sure just to go over this one more time. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but I know it's a robust priority and goal, and it's got a lot of facets to it. So just want to go over this one more time. Let me know if I missed anything. The goal is to complete the recommendations outlined in the board organizational assessment, including development of internal policies, updating SDIC bylaws, and the operations and maintenance manual. And from that, we have it broken down into five different subcategories or goals. The organizational assessment is basically complete once we update and adopt the employee manual, which we'll do at our next meeting. And then phase six is what we're doing now, is the long-range planning process post-accreditation. We're going to update the O&M manual with a one-time true-up, and then that'll be something that's revised and adopted. Those changes will be adopted, and then we'll review that annually. We'll set the date in the annual calendar, and it'll be reviewed annually. The second part of that would be to review the bylaws, add it to the master calendar. We're thinking every September for the reasons we discussed earlier. The third part would be the organizational assessment. We want to identify which portions need to be reviewed regularly and put those on a master calendar. We're thinking maybe every November. The ditch levels is two separate ideas. Basically, one is to identify the district responsibility versus landowner responsibility. We want to identify those, clearly delineate them and understand them. And then second portion of that would be to create perform a ditch analysis and receive a condition report. That's going to lead to a deliverable ultimately, which is a master schedule for ditch maintenance and cleaning. And then a fifth portion of this goal would be just to create, adopt, and upload to the website, the master calendar. Everybody good with that? Okay. And I appreciate everybody's input on that one. That one's important. They're all important, but that one's most important. Okay. Development of a long-term financial plan that includes infrastructure improvements, ongoing maintenance, and funding sources. The goal is to develop a comprehensive long-term financial plan for SDIC. The steps in that were work with bookkeeper and general manager to forecast revenues and expenditures for 3 to 5 years. Use forecast to prepare a long-range financial plan, including a capital improvement plan based on the infrastructure improvement list, and develop a financial gap analysis identifying potential grant funding or cost-sharing needs based on years where expenditures are projected to exceed revenues. Okay, so first and foremost, what are our thoughts on this goal?
I want to write down that Jeff Wanker entered the meeting at 6:10. 6:10.
6:10. Jeff Wanker. Hi, Jeff. Got it.
Did you write down when Amanda joined in person?
No. I did say hi, Amanda, though. So when I read back on our Zoom meeting,
yeah, there the time, you go.
6 o'clock? Okay. This is why they don't let me take the minutes. 6 o'clock in person. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Well, it sounds so just all that lead off, I guess, on this one. But the long term financial plan, I think, is always a good idea. I think there's a lot of things coming out of the SWOT analysis and this goal that are really going to drive this. I think if we work with the bookkeeper and general manager to forecast revenues and expenditures for 3 to 5 years without doing all of this legwork that we talked about before, it's going to change drastically. Is that fair? So I'm almost thinking that we don't punt, but we move this to the end of the process, or we move this to the end of our long range planning, because a lot of the operations and maintenance and things that we're planning on doing through our long range planning process will lead to a long range financial overview or guide. My own thoughts, but
so what would the goal would be basically to, I mean, I don't know, just say move to the end of the process or review after the.
I think, I got to remember what the word.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I just don't know how to give a tangible of what that looks like.
I'm almost thinking that once we, it would be, in my brain, it would be a deliverable at the very end of the establishment of our non-maintenance infrastructure improvement list, our deficiency study, and our ditch assessment goals. Once those are done and in place and adopted, I think this would follow along right afterwards. Now, what that timeline looks like, I'm not 100% sure, because we haven't done the legwork on the other stuff, but it's kind of my thinking is we'd want to do those three things first, and then those three items, we would need a critical path to get to the long-range financial planning.
Yeah, especially because of the infrastructure component of this and maybe the system deficiency analysis component could be wildly different numbers.
Sure.
That would be, and we may get grant funding, we might not. So that's part of the
Okay. So let's maybe look at this and say this will be a deliverable plan, or the plan will be a deliverable after goal 1, 3, and we'll say 4A and B, which would be 4 would be the O and M, and the 4A would be the ditch levels. After 1. And those numbers don't really mean anything now until we actually categorize them, but that's just how I wrote them down on my list. Okay. Good. Any further comment on that one? Got two more. Okay, next goal, next priority, evaluate staffing needs, workload, reporting structure, and support benefits of current and future employees. The goal, ensure the work climate is positive and staff retention rate is high. That can be done by step one, conducting an annual performance evaluation on all staff by a certain date, adjust workload and or determine if contracting out work is necessary based on feedback from staff and performance evaluations by a certain date. Determine if a cooperative relationship with local government is possible to support the work of SDIC staff by a certain date. Work with HR Answers to conduct a salary survey to determine if SDIC pay scales and benefits are within market by a certain date, and ensure that staff have access to training opportunities budget appropriately for annual staff training. Okay, thoughts on this goal? I think we'd all agree that it's important to have a positive work climate. I don't think anybody really wants a miserable work climate.
So on this one, I'll say, so the annual performances is part of our employee evaluation process that came out of the SDAO. That's completed and it's on the books, adopted process.
Okay.
I don't know if we just want to strike it from there. It's kind of already being done.
Makes sense. Yep. Adjust workload and or determine if contracting out work is necessary based on feedback from staff and performance evaluations. So that, I mean, that's part of the performance evaluation, which is something that we would typically ask as part of our review process. Would we just strike that one because it's redundant now?
I would.
Okay. Any comment on that, anybody, before we strike this one? I think as long as they're included in the annual performance review, that's the really important thing. Determine if a cooperative relationship with local government is possible to support the work of SDIC staff. I don't remember. Remember going over most of these things. I don't remember going over that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. I don't really understand that one. I'm looking at number one, and I would just say I think that we should keep something in there about that, like just continue to conduct annual performance evaluation. I'm not comfortable with cutting number one out.
Well, the goal would be to do this, we're already doing it and it's going to continue.
So
you're not going to be able to look back at this and be like, oh, check that box, it's already done.
Okay.
So would the deliverable be, do we have it on the master calendar? Because the deliverable could be
it is on the master calendar.
It is
what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, but this will change too because it depends on when the employee was hired.
Right. But I thought that long range plan. Yeah.
So it's on the master calendar. It's and it'll be reviewed. Say that part again about when people are hired, Chase. Whatever you.
Yeah, it's usually annually. It falls within on their. I think there's a 6 month and then the annual after that. It's a part of our adopted employee evaluation process.
Gotcha.
So it's already adopted. Okay.
So this would just be one of the things from the. Organizational assessment that we would identify needs to be reviewed to make sure that it's still consistent every year or whatever time. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Back to three. I don't remember the thinking for determine if a cooperative relationship with local government is possible. If I remember it, I think the intent was just to make sure that if something were to happen, you know, we could find support for the operation side of things or for the, yeah, go ahead, Amanda.
I think we had put that one up there for, you know, ditch mowing or various things we already do? Is that something that one of the other government entities here does as well? And is it something we could team up with them to utilize their services somehow as well, if it's something we can't do? Is, I believe, what that thought was. Can't remember if we were thinking about it for dike mowing too, since they're always out mowing along the roads. Is that something we could piggyback on them with and somehow work?
Like some sort of an intergovernmental agreement type, yeah, or cooperative agreement?
Yeah. I believe that's what that was for. Probably right. They mow all kinds of stuff. I mean, they're big mowers, could probably do the dikes too. Or at least for an emergency situation, just to kind of know what infrastructure you guys have that we could potentially utilize if necessary for an emergency.
Is that something that you guys, so for everybody on the virtual participation. What we're talking about with Chris is what we're possibly our intent for this number three is a term of cooperation, local government as entities. We're actually talking about working with them and the possibility in emergency preparedness situations. So
I feel like this could fall under, like, towards the beginning when we were talking about building relationships with other entities. This would kind of fall under that as well.
Should we make a third goal? I'm here. This doesn't really fall under staff retention.
Yeah, it's almost just a critical path item.
Yeah.
That's one thing on the critical path to get the deliverable, which was whatever we said it was going to be. Yeah. Yeah. Develop list of develop list of contacts. That was a deliverable, and then there's multiple critical paths from that, depending on whether we attend certain meetings or whatever. But I think you're right. I think that falls more under that goal than anything.
You could add, develop a list of contacts and resources.
Okay. That could be a good deliverable.
I can follow up with you, Chris, later to talk through that, what that looks like or meeting.
And this could even, especially if we look at it through an emergency lens or anything like that, that's something that we're going to look at in the O&M every year.
Yeah.
Is updating the emergency contacts, emergency evacuation plan, and all that kind of stuff that we would do anyways as part of that. So it's easily reviewed.
Yeah.
As part of that.
We would want to be at or could be at.
I
do too.
Sounds so great.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Awesome. Okay.
Four definitely needs to stay there, though.
Yeah. So four says work with HR Answers to conduct a salary survey to determine if SDIC pay scales and benefits are in market by blank. Now, it's my understanding we already have that every 2 years.
That's also in the employee evaluation.
It's already done. So we don't need it on the long range plan.
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're continuing to do these things.
Yeah, they're all done. That's why it was kind of like when it came back through here. I mean, this was from SDAO. They did our long range plan. So I'm guessing they might have regurgitated some of this stuff back.
Hard time separating out, you know, because we need to.
This is straight from SDAO. I have not changed.
We already have a policy in place that says we're going to do that annually. Yeah.
So we're good with four? Five is to ensure staff have access to training opportunities, budget appropriately for annual staff training. I don't remember off the top of my head if we budgeted anything for training and education.
Was that the only goal left? That's the goal that's going to ensure the work climate is positive and the staff retention is high. What do you have to say, employee? What would ensure that the work climate is positive and the staff retention is high?
Well, I'm just thinking of what would be a deliverable out of this. Like, what could we do now to determine under this priority or goal, if you will, something to do differently that would change that? And I don't know, to be able to deliver at the end of this goal, what is that? Like a
priority is evaluate staffing needs and workload. I'm not sure that these goals actually address that priority. So
could it be something, maybe what this is we put on the annual calendar outside of employee evaluations, maybe in a monthly meeting, there's a specific line item that evaluates staffing needs. I mean, I don't know. It might be nothing, but it might be something too.
Staffing and training needs.
I would say. If there's something training that needs to be done. I mean, I'm trying to think of something that we can actually deliver with this. What I'm thinking.
Maybe we don't need it as a whole part of the long range plan.
I would think it would definitely be something that the district would want to review every once in a while, but it's one of those things that could be something or it could not. And that's what I'm just.
Would it make sense to just put it on there biannually? Like every 6 months, maybe February and August or something like that, or every March and.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is Rob and I were talking about this earlier. When we go back through and rewrite this, we're going to really think about the dates. Because there's like some of these, we definitely got to do budget in June, but like the new board comes on in February. So usually that March meeting is when, we want to delegate contacts. And that's what we'll sit down and really think to that through too. So it's going to be, I'm just thinking for now, if we commit to an annual review of staffing needs and then we'll figure out a best meeting is my thought.
Sure.
It'd be, we're trying to spread these things out so we don't end up with a meeting that goes like 5 hours. And try to get it during the annual calendar that it's
somewhere we need to commit to the evaluation of staffing and training needs at some sort of regularity.
And that's what I think that this goal could be, is to just basically develop an annual or biannual review of staffing needs. And that would be just commit to actually doing it annually, I think it'd be a good goal.
Well, who would be the, for everybody this question, but who would be the barometer on what our staffing needs are? Is that something that we would lean on the GM to determine for us, or the board to determine for us, or the public, or how does that?
Well, as the operational head of our organization.
The GM?
Yeah. But I think if we just go over and just have a line item in the agenda that we're just going to review it, and then I'll put together some comments or thoughts.
Sure.
And if it needs to be followed up on, we can follow up on it.
Okay.
But I think just committing to at least an annual review. I don't think an annual review of staffing needs is in our employee evaluation. The employee evaluation part of that facet, the individual employee is asked the question. I remember right.
Okay. Seems reasonable to me. Anything else on that one? Okay. Sorry about that. Getting a text. Let's see. Gary, I just saw your text. Are you back on, or did your audio come back through? Can you hear us okay? Yeah, he texted. He said he lost audio for a minute, but he's kind of going in and out. So. Okay. We've got, it's 6:29. We'll call 6:30. Got a soft stop at 15. We good to go for our last one? Okay. Okay. Last but definitely not least, the goal is to prepare a plan for sudden or short notice departure of staff and a policy to follow in the event a board member vacates a position. Step one is develop a policy defining the process for filling vacant board positions in the event a board member leaves prior to the end of term of office by a date. Develop a list of potential contractors and individuals who could provide maintenance work in the event field technician staff depart with short or no notice. Determine if there are other drainage districts or companies who have the capacity to assist SDIC in the event the general manager leaves position with little or no notice by a certain date. Sorry, I lied. There's one more after this. Just small. Okay, so thinking behind this one, Chase, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think our bylaws actually spell out number one. If a board member leaves prior to the end of the term, the current sitting board, I believe, elects the new director. We'll have to double check that. Yeah.
So one is covered by the bylaws.
Yeah, and so to change that, you'd have to change the bylaws. So I don't think we want to get into that.
I think it's pretty clear on there, that process, I would agree. Second one, develop a list of potential contractors and individuals who could provide maintenance work in the event the field tech staff depart with short or no notice. So if our field technician left with short or no notice, what would our plan be?
Well, in the interim, I would take over the field operations, required field operations. But I was thinking what we talked about too is this might be that number two. I was thinking it might be something that we would just include in the O&M manual. Have a list of individuals, whether they be landowners, maybe former managers, or people that would be willing to help out the district in an emergency situation. And we could just have that list of individuals kind of in the O&M manual in case something goes bad. They can say, hey, let's call up such and such. She used to help us out in the interim. And then have the succession plan of maybe the general manager be maybe the president of the board or something, that it could be maybe develop a list of like day-to-day stuff and then have like, you know, the master passwords to all the accounts and the key where everything is, and kind of develop a list of what that emergency step in could look like. And then, you know, what needs to be done. And most of that'll be on the annual calendar as well. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like,
on the subject of the board, I don't think number one is the right goal, but I do think it could be beneficial for us to have some kind of a delineated onboarding process for board members. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but it has a little more checklist to it. You know, we've been kind of like trying to figure that out a few times, you know, changes in the board. What do we do when new board members come on? Is it important? Is that important or not? I don't know.
So you're thinking of something. Oh, so you're basically just thinking of developing a process of board transition, not necessarily if someone leaves or vacant. When we actually have board transition.
I think you already have, you're right that we already have some. We'd need to double check it, but I think we already do have something. Or sudden departures.
Yeah, as filling the vacancy, but the actual, you're talking about like board member onboarding, yeah. Develop some sort of a process or plan.
So that, you know, so that everybody's informed of public meetings laws, has their appropriate email processes, you know, all the things that are part of being a member of a board of a public body. You know, I think it would be helpful for us to have some kind of system. Kind of, it doesn't have to be fancy, but some kind of little something in place that, you know, says we've done our due diligence as an organization to inform you of what your responsibilities are as a board member.
I like your checklist idea too. I think as a deliverable, a checklist would be something we could produce and And then no matter who was responsible for it.
And we can get help with SDAO from that, you know, yeah. But just make sure we have a little something binder, or I don't know what, something in place that we that says, you know, okay.
Welcome.
Here you go. Good luck.
Welcome. Don't screw up. Yeah.
I would think probably SDAO. I know they've got various trainings on their website that are just online, do whenever you want type trainings, but maybe they have something that's a general, here's public meeting laws, kind of basic stuff that we could say, now that you're a board member, please take the time in the next 30 days to watch this video or what have you, if that's something that SDAO has already online.
I think they already do but I think that would be a good for SBIC though to get it. Because well, there's several processes we go through. You know, we set up email, SharePoint, all that stuff. And I think the goal would be is to develop a onboarding process for new board members is kind of that goal. And then the checklist would be basically develop a checklist of kind of best onboarding practices. That, which I'm thinking just a couple emails, SDAO is going to get us a pretty good.
So the deliverable will be to adopt a process, to adopt the onboarding process.
Yes.
And the critical path could be a checklist or SDAO or whatever else, but the deliverable itself would be an actual adopted onboarding process.
Yeah.
I
don't know if it really fits under this priority, but it should be there maybe. What do you think?
Okay. And then going to staff departures, creating a list of individuals to assist. Part of that, it sounded like could be, if it's going to be part of the O&M, that would be a great mechanism for it to get reviewed every year so that we can update phone numbers, update contacts as people come and go into the district or are willing or not willing to help out during certain circumstances. We kind of go through that as the master O&M checklist.
Yeah.
One facet of it. Anything else with staff departures? I mean, it's on this, it's split up between the field tech and the general manager, but I think just staff departures in general, right, is what we're looking for. Board departures and staff departures and how that process looks.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments for these two?
Well, I think under that last one, general manager, I think we could maybe develop even a guideline. I don't really want to commit to be not really sure what it would look like, but there's certain things you just have to know, and then that'll get you moving at least for a little bit, you know, and then you can get new general manager and stuff in place because it's only short term, you hope.
Sure.
If I get hit by a bus tomorrow or something, it's going to be that way we can.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Because there's
have some type of
emergency
document or
yeah, emergency.
Something in a safe that we can pull out and say, okay, this is the how to.
Yeah, maybe it arrives with the president, you know, yeah. Has all the updated passwords to all the accounts and stuff like that.
A triage folder.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's, you know, a call tree, I think of that. And then that way, if, you know, and then that'll just come on. I'll have to put some thought into what actually needs to be on that list.
I put deliverable TBD, but the concept at least sounds like it's rational and that we're interested in following it up. We just want to know what the deliverable is, whether it's something tangible, something that goes in the safe, something that the president or whoever has access to or whatever that looks like, that's the deliverable. That's what we want to get to. Okay. Yeah, I like the idea. Okay. This one, I promise, is the last one. I don't have any more papers. Okay. Let's see. Gain accreditation from FEMA. Goal, gain accreditation from FEMA. And so the step one just basically says ensure that the city of Scappoose is able to provide the required data to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers by blank.
That's not really a good goal for us because.
So isn't that kind of already in process?
Yeah.
Kind of already doing that.
How are we going to make the city of Scappoose? Cooperate with the city of Scappoose. We could
I would just put that cooperate with the city and county.
And the county. The county
as they gain the completion of levy accreditation.
So the goal would be accreditation, or the deliverable would be a stamp that says we're accredited, but the critical path to that sounds like it, we, as we all know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but we've, you know, we understand that that goes through different avenues.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, if we don't want this as a goal, that's fine. But I just think that we understand it's a goal. It's just a goal that is a little bit further beyond our control than some of the other goals. And so the critical path might look a little bit different, because we're, there's going to be certain timelines and certain intervals and milestones that have to happen that we're not leading the charge, you know?
Yeah. Let's say gain accreditation of, fill in the blank, just gain accreditation. Is that too vague?
It's kind of already a goal, kind of an unwritten and written and financially
and the
burdensome so far goal. I mean, it's kind of already known. I don't really need to state it, to be honest with you.
Sure. And the critical path, is, like I said, is pretty straightforward. It's spelled out on what we have to do to and where it goes and how it works. So I don't think it would be surprising anybody that that's a goal of ours.
Well, it feels like we've done what we can do.
Yeah, I mean,
I think there's always more we can do. And I think, you know, especially as the longer time goes on, the more the district changes and the more it develops and the more things, you know, that were relevant in 2000 and whatever are not relevant now. And so it's, I think as this process evolves, we just need to make sure that we don't lose sight that it's not only is extremely important, but as this game changes, I mean, as FEMA changes and the federal, you know, statutes change, that we are just really in tune with that.
Well, kind of. It's multifaceted. They actually, so the levy is provisionally accredited. So we went through the process to get the levy accredited. That's, it only has provisional accreditation until the interior drainage analysis is completed. And then FEMA takes the, their process of when they will either issue the flood maps or not issue the flood maps is kind of up in the air. It seems like they're satisfied as long as you continue to try to work towards it. We have no idea how long the provisional accreditation of the levy is going to last. If they pull that, it's all done. Is it? I think once it's accredited and everything's done, it's reviewed every 10 years. That's what I heard from Savvy's Island and FEMA Region 10 during their public meeting, is I believe it has to be revisited every 10 years. Yes, so like if you don't try to get accreditation like we did at Deer Island, they'll just rewrite the map so they don't, it's just done. Then to get out of that, you gotta do all the stuff, but since I think we're still progressing, they're not going to rewrite the maps yet.
So this is definitely something that I think needs to be revisited too, especially once we earn accreditation, there will definitely need to be a goal on how to stay accredited in the process and which in the timeline and intervals in which we reapply and all that other stuff. That definitely needs to go into the long range plan once we get to that threshold, I think. So, I mean, we could put on here the goal is accreditation. It needs to be just monitored now and cooperated with up until a certain point. And then after that needs to be re-reviewed and rewritten. As a specific goal.
Well, yeah, and then it will be a continuing, ongoing goal that we will, the county, the city, and us will have to work together to maintain, because, you know, we have our end of the bargain with the levy and then the interior drainage, and then the next hurricane hits and the whole thing could change again.
Sure.
That's what happened last time.
Mind popping the agenda back on there whenever you get a chance? Sorry. Please. Thank you. Okay, so it is, 6:43? This is typically our, or what we talked about being our soft stop. I'm thrilled that we made it through our entire stack of papers and all of our goals. There's much more work to do after this, which we're obviously committed to, but I don't think, at least for this specific exercise, we don't have any need for another, you know, to put another work session on the board right now, unless the board thinks otherwise. Go ahead. If anybody's got a comment, go ahead.
Okay. I just want to know what the next step is. Keep it
moving. Yeah, so I think there needs to be some efforts made now on really taking all the notes that we came up with today, now that we've, you know, really what, I guess, you know, looking back, hindsight being 2020, what we've accomplished today, we probably should have accomplished in the SWOT analysis in the first place, if we had more time. So really, in my brain, this is the conclusion of the SWOT analysis. And now it's time to put pen to paper and create a formal document that says, this was the goal, this is the critical path to get to this deliverable. And that's something that we should put together and then present at the next meeting and say, you know, if for the board to review and understand, and then basically adopt this as an official goal of the SDAC, and then so on and so forth. And that'll be more specific.
May I ask, we did put this out for review by the landowners. Okay. Did we receive any?
No. None. Okay. It's been on the website for months and months and months.
Okay. This draft that we just
worked. The draft you're looking at is on there, and then there's also a specific strategic planning page that explains what we're going through the process, and a questionnaire, and we didn't receive any feedback.
And I think once we have those documents, those 10 or 12 or whatever they are documents, I think we post those and we let everybody know at the next meeting, like, hey, they're on the website now, they're these, but they're specific and they're measurable and they have deadlines and everything else. And then ask again for feedback and say, hey, take a look at them. And if anybody sees anything wonky before we adopt them, or, you know, please submit your feedback by X date. And then by whatever that date is, whatever date we close the feedback or public comment feedback section of it, then we adopt it. It's kind of my
thing. Yeah, but then each goal is going to have its own timeline.
Yeah.
So the O&M manual might be sooner than the, you know, we might leave comment open for the infrastructure upgrade priority list for several months and then adopt that list. And then there's other things in there too. Like I said, the master calendar is going to be relatively quick. So it's going to be, some of it's going to get done right away. So,
sure.
But once the goals are actually formally adopted, then we're basically trying to state the goals, get everybody's input, and then we're going to have a path forward of how to accomplish it and what is it at the end that we're going to accomplish.
And that's why I was so thrilled with today. I think we finally got to the point of the deliverables. Like, what are we actually trying to? We had a lot of goals and a lot of ideas in the last meeting, but I mean, in the essence of time, I think we spent 4 hours on it, but I think we never really got to the point of what we actually want it to look like and what the deliverables should be. I think we got there today. Now we just need to read 5 pages of chicken scratch and try to put it on a formal document.
Well, of course, I want it to make sense to the board and the landowners, but most especially to you. No, so it's something that you feel like it's doable, executable. That kind of
thing. Don't be surprised if I give myself lots of time.
I mean, you gotta run the district in the meantime. So, okay.
Okay. Cool. Any other closing remarks? Nothing. Okay. Well, it is 6:47. We're 13 minutes ahead of the schedule, but let's go ahead and adjourn this work session for the night. I thank everybody for being here.
Move to adjourn.
Okay. All in favor? Aye. All right. Thanks, everybody, for